B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey. I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap, ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a horn.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
On the mean streets of the Hamptons.
I used to live my life a quarter mile at a time.
Where speed is really not a thing.
900 horses of Detroit muscle.
One man.
I used to say I lived my life a quarter mile at a time.
Will take one amazing car.
The goddamn right it is.
To the grocery store.
Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog slice? You like it, right?
Craft is
pretty cool.
Too old to drive fast.
Oh, sweetheart. You gotta call me RKK.
Going zero to CBS in 2.2 hours.
They're calling me
moving JS to speed limit 820. Come on.
I just tell you, it's a bunch of hogwash.
What the hell?
Too old to drive fast.
They call him Mr. Lemonade.
How are those new seat beans?
Unequivocally the sweetest.
Pretty cool.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program. You can call us 617-779-0985, the Town Fair Tire Studios. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Subscribe to 985 The Sports Hub. You can get the Twitch app. And we'll have a bird review of the Fast and the Furious. This is the ninth one, I believe.
F9. I am looking forward to this. It's become one of my favorite segments. Bird went to the movies last night with Nick Jamelli, and afterwards it will be spoiler free. Trust me, I think even if he tried to spoil it, he wouldn't be able to.
If you're worried about spoilers for a Fast and Furious movie, you got your own issues.
Sure. Well, I mean, listen, there's so much to be spoiled. They race really fast and things blow up.
Well, the only reviews I've read have said it's not very good because too much dialogue.
Oh, well,
it's
one
of the few movies where they say there's too much dialogue.
Okay, Fred, there has been a disturbing trend in the Fast and the Furious franchise, and that is that the length of the films has gotten suspiciously long. This new one, I believe, is almost 2.5 hours.
Oh, God.
But
what the hell is that?
But if you're like me, you have almost, like, you yearn for the dialogue more than you do the action scenes. Now
because
you just want to hear the,
so
stupid,
dumb.
Right, the stupid things Vin Diesel says.
It's not just that. I mean, they're throwing all these stars at it. You know, Statham and Helen Mirren's involved. They just add more and more.
Charlize Theron.
And they all have to get their certain lines and looks at the cameras in, and that's what extends it out. Plus, they got to figure out more ways to blow things up and to go to different places they haven't gone before.
Went
to England, went to Jamaica. I mean, they've gone to Mexico. They've done all these things. They've gone to Europe.
They haven't
gone to
space yet. I mean, apparently in the trailer, it looks like they're going to go to space in this one.
That's what's extending these movies out, the locations and the required dialogue for all the stars.
Fred, I got so excited last night because somebody sent me this article where Vin Diesel, you know, he's been doing all the press for this. And, of course, he's just like, this film, you know, the franchise, it has a soul.
Yeah.
Soon the soul it has to rest.
I'd bring out the performance from The Rock. It wasn't easy.
Well, that was, now he's like really just trying to take credit for The Rock's career, which is fantastic. Well, they really hate each other.
Well, I think he's trying to, now that this is ending for him, trying to, you know, be like, I'm not difficult on the set. Like, this is, I was doing it on purpose.
Well, find another train to hop on as they keep whizzing by him.
Yeah.
Well, I am getting really excited because this article I read yesterday, you know, they've talked about how Fast and Furious 10 is going to be the final chapter. They're ending it after the 10th one, except the 10th one is going to be a two-part thing. It's almost like Avengers Infinity War. I mean, they're really, I mean, just
the like Harry Potter.
Yeah, of course. Okay, the heads on these people are just fantastic. Right. It's great. But he talks in this article about how for like the last like 5 or 6 years, he's had imagined in his mind what the final scene was going to look like. And he talks about how, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but in my mind, this is the most, might be the most beautiful scene that has ever been put on film. And I'm just thinking, man, part two of episode 10 cannot come fast enough.
I just want to see the last 15 minutes.
I just want to watch
it. It's going to be like him on a rock, like
looking into the sun.
Did you ever see the end of that movie with, who's the guy from Love Story?
Warren Beatty?
No. Warren Beatty wasn't Love Story. He was on The Sopranos. He was the gambler who they, white guy, blonde hair. He's dead now. Come on, guys.
I don't know. I honestly don't. I have no idea.
Ryan O'Neal.
Okay.
And so, did you ever see the movie where Ryan O'Neal, and it's a famous scene, and he goes, oh no. He reads a letter on this cliff, and he goes, oh no. Oh my. Oh God. Oh no. And it's like the worst acted scene of all time. It's going to be a long way to go for this, but it's going to be like, it's going to be Vin Diesel alone. Like, in my opinion, I've never seen any of these, but it's going to be Vin Diesel alone with a nice monologue with a lot of physical acting in terms of just read my face.
Yeah.
Like, read what it says, and it's going to just fall flat.
It's going to be something so cheesy, like he's going to be like, one last ride. And it's going to have every cast member who's still alive in their own car. And then on the other end are going to be the ghosts of the ones that have passed away. And they're all going to race together.
But that's
I guarantee you that's what it's going to be.
But before that, he's going to have to write himself a nice monologue.
Of course. And it's going to be so ridiculously, awesomely bad. Just the things he's going to say that in his mind. You got to think, he's had years, almost 20 years now, to imagine this final scene and what's going to happen.
He finally gets out of the game and has, you know, he has Letty sitting next to him, said, I've enjoyed my time, but I'm getting too old, but it's time to sit down.
Right into the sunset.
Right into the sunset.
It's going to be time. What is time?
It's going to be.
It's the one thing that you can't catch no matter how fast or furious you are.
There it is.
Then the screen goes to black.
And like they're going to, and the music at the end, there's going to be like no rock music. It's going to be this really somber like piano music. Oh, I can't. Wait, I didn't.
Like the audience is all like
in tears.
We need to pace this for tears. Like you know, we're playing this. We might have to bring them back a little bit because we don't want them leaving devastated. Like we want to give a glimmer of hope at the end. Like you know, people are at the theater. Like Nick was at the end of the Avengers, just confused and not sure where else to go in his life.
It's going to be the actual ending scene. I bet itself will be 30 minutes long. Like that scene, where they're the closure scene. It will be 30 minutes of amazing.
Oh
cinema.
No, they have to. There's got to be a scene where they sit around the table in the backyard and reminisce.
Coronas, but barbecue.
Coronas and barbecue. Yeah,
but the funniest scenario is that all is going to happen. But this funny scenario is you get that out of the way quicker than, and then you go, wow, there's still a half an hour left, because you want that Vin just sitting down and putting a period on the franchise.
Sure.
Everyone has dinner and goes home, and he's left at the picnic table by himself.
Something like that. Okay. So, Nick, but it is funny that Nick got so emotional about the Avengers, and like, there's an Avengers movie coming out. Like, there's an Avengers movie, another Avengers movie coming out. First of all, it's stupid to get that sad about movies, and second of all, like, wow, it's over. Oh, except for this that's coming out tomorrow.
The whole other universe that they're launching with all of the characters that were just in this, essentially.
Yeah, right. Like, the Black Widow, who I liked in the Avengers, one of my, I'm not going to go see Black Widow, but Black Widow was one of the characters I liked. And, but the Avengers, it's Kiss.
Right.
We're never coming back except
this summer.
Except this summer. And then, you know, probably after that.
We're only coming back three times a year.
So he said, this is great. F10 ends like Forrest Gump, where Dom is with him and Brian's kid teaching them how to race in a monologue about family and traditions never ending. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be the two kids racing each other.
Someone dies of AIDS.
Walker told me I had AIDS. That's right. Yeah. They just throw AIDS into there.
Well, that was what happened in...
Walker, Texas Rangers.
No, that's also what happened in Forrest Gump.
Oh, that's right.
She died of AIDS.
Was it... Huh? Ever specifically AIDS? I don't think they ever mentioned that it was AIDS she died of.
Well, I don't know. She had... you could strongly assume it was AIDS. But it was. And then he takes the baby that's not his, and you're supposed to be like, well done, Forrest. You got a baby that's not yours, and from a woman who used you your entire life.
I thought that was his baby.
I think she says it's his baby, but it's not his baby.
Oh. Because Mary goes, is he? Yes, he's very smart, Forrest. Remember he always started crying?
Yes.
Yeah. That was really? I never thought of that that way. I always thought it was his kid.
No.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
Huh.
Yeah. You don't want to ruin Forrest Gump.
No, you don't. But I just thought about that for all the years. Think about it. I can see Vin Diesel like in the room, like the writer's room. And he's sitting there.
Oh, there's no writer's room.
And he's just like, it's basically a desk with a Scarface poster.
There's no table read.
And he's sitting there and he's just like, and then we see each other one day down the... Damn it, no! And he's throwing another crumpled piece of paper into the wastebasket as he sits there with a Corona and his own homemade barbecue trying to figure out how to wrap this up nicely.
All right, well, we'll hear that review coming up at 8 o'clock. Rich, what's on the way?
All right, the Red Sox. Boy, what a kick in the nuts last night. Just about one of the worst losses of the season. And it started off as potentially being one of the best wins of the year, but... They just crapped the bed in the end.
Yep. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
On the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Oh, a disaster of a loss for the Red Sox.
Swung on and missed. It gets away. Here comes the runner. The shovel is safe, and that is the ball game.
I'm telling you, it's a ghost house in the ninth inning down there.
Wow.
Tampa Bay wins it despite getting two hits in the game on a swing and a miss. It got away from Vasquez far enough. Margot came charging home. And it's 1-0 Tampa Bay in the end.
What a way to lose a game.
Yep, that is Nesson. And after pitching a no-hitter for 6 2/3 innings, Alex Cora pulled Nick Pivetta, a decision that I saw, I don't know why, many people second-guessing, but I mean, the dude had already thrown 100 pitches.
I would have kept him in.
I would have kept him in, too.
He was on pace to throw 130. That's the most in the majors of all year.
On pace.
Yeah, I'm not saying leave him in for 130 pitches, but the guy has a no-hitter. He's pitching a game of his life. Yeah, there's a runner on second base, but there are two outs, and he's proven he can get anyone out, basically anyone out that he wanted. If he got any fielding, it would have been much easier.
He hasn't pitched that far into a game in over 2 years.
Leave him in. Let him throw 115 or 120. Maybe guys swing at pitches. Maybe they get themselves out. But let him either lose the no-hitter or you really get to a pitch count where you're like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, Rich, what you do at that point is you let the guy go and see if he loses the no-hitter, and then when you absolutely have to pull him, you pull him. They pulled him too early.
I saw his numbers afterwards about how he hasn't pitched that far into a game in so long.
Much different. Last night he had it. Last night he was great. But
that's also not the reason that they lost last night.
Bullpen differently. Maybe you don't need Matt Barnes. I mean, maybe there are 100 things that happen after that, but it starts
Rich, in fairness, everything affects the game.
It starts with Nick Pivetta throwing lights out. I mean, they couldn't touch him. The only reason they got on base were walks and errors. They couldn't touch him. And I don't care if you have the go-ahead run out at second base. There are still a few innings left. You basically just almost scored in the top of the previous inning. The hitters were figuring it out. They should have left him in. And I'm not saying leave him in for 135 pitches. That's irresponsible. They have five guys. They're lucky they haven't had a major injury to the rotation. You can't afford to lose a guy. But you leave him in for 15 or 20 more pitches, absolutely.
You certainly let him get out of the inning, and then you talk to him, and you, yeah, I they
don't overthink things. And by the way, Waka, who was pitching for Tampa Bay, was lights out too.
Yeah, he was great.
He gave up one hit that was an excuse me swing by Christian Vasquez, and then Cash goes and gets him after five innings.
I wonder why. I wish the Cardinals could have a guy like Waka. Maybe they'd beat Pittsburgh and Detroit.
He's bounced around a little bit since he left.
He was so good, and then it just fell apart.
2013, he pitched against the Sox in a World Series.
He was like 21 or something. Yeah. He was really, really good.
But yeah, Kevin Cash, you saw it in the playoffs last year. In the World Series last year. He gets crazy. But, I mean, that's just it. Cash has seven guys in the bullpen. They all pitch every night, and if the starter gets through five, Cash is like, I don't care how well you're doing, you're out. And again, you saw this in a pivotal World Series game last year. Was it Blake Snell?
Yeah.
He came and got when he really didn't need to, and it cost him the game.
Well, he outmanaged himself in the World Series.
Well, also, Blake Snell is a better pitcher than Nick Pivetta.
No, but the point is that
first of all, keeping him in, he's not going to throw his arm out on five pitches. You keep him in to end the inning. And then you talk to him, and then he's on it. And then you explain to him, all right, here's the deal. You're on a pitch count. Go out there, and then maybe he loses the no-hitter, and there's no issue.
Don't set out fires that haven't started yet.
Right. And especially, I think the runner on second is, I'd keep him in. More reason to keep him in. But that was not the way that it went. And John's right. I mean, when you take him out there, then you get to your bullpen earlier, and then who knows what happens.
Go three, four, five arms, and who knows, maybe an extra guy pitched last night won't be able to pitch this evening in a key spot against the Yankees.
Well, it was a shame because the bats couldn't help Matt at all. I mean, the Rays walked off in the ninth, as you heard right there. It was ruled a wild pitch. Tampa gets two hits, but that was enough to win. The worst thing about all of it is the game was lost because of errors and poor defense. As a matter of fact, I was reading in the Globe
base
this morning.
Base running, too.
Well, that as well. Yeah, the base running was awful.
Can I make it one statement here quickly? Is that, you know, Major League Baseball is making all these changes. This is the first time ever, this certainly in a year, that we've let off of what happened last night with the Red Sox. And it was a 1-0 game. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I'll say. Is because why? Because it was far more interesting.
And it was over by 10 or 10-15.
Well, but that also shows that all these pitchers who are complaining about how they can have no control of the ball, you saw last night Pivetta almost have a no-hitter. And didn't you have a no-hitter last night?
Fair enough, a combined no-hitter the Cubs had one. So, Zach Davies lasted six. They brought in three guys, one inning in each, and it was a no-hitter.
So these guys need to stop bitching at some point because there are pitchers in the league that are figuring this out.
Yeah, well, Garrett Richards needs to stop pitching.
That's true.
Yeah, if you can bitch, but you can't go, well, I'm not going to pitch.
How long? At some point, you just have to go, well, this is the way it is. It sucks they did it midseason, but we need to nut up or shut up. And it seems like other pitchers in the league are able to do it. That's when you hear Garrett Richards continue. I mean, it's almost like without this stuff, he can't pitch.
Well, that's just to sit down and say, Garrett, take a look at Nick Pivetta out there.
Yeah.
He did pretty well.
Your own teammate.
I'm on the side of the pitchers, but again, Garrett Richards, you can't not play baseball. I mean, I guess you can, but if that's going to be your strategy, you're never going to, he's never going to succeed.
Yeah,
because he's given up. All right.
Well, this was interesting because we were talking about the amount of errors that we saw, and it does seem to be like there's more and more. But in the Globe this morning, they said they committed 11 errors in the last eight games, which have led to 10 unearned runs. On top of that, they lead the league with 56 this season.
How has Devers been in third?
He's awful.
Okay.
I think 12 errors already and counting.
You know what?
I looked a couple of days ago. He's the worst fielding third baseman in the league, errors-wise.
They have to move him to first base. But it's weird because I actually just had this conversation with my dad. you always go, oh, well, first base, who cares? But if you get a first base, obviously you're involved with the most plays. And also, if you get a great defensive first baseman,
he'll save you about five or six infield errors every half season with scoops and
more than that. It's like when, again, because I watch him, but Goldschmidt, when he came to the Cardinals last season, their errors went down remarkably.
It's interesting. In 2004, you know, when Theo Epstein traded Nomar and he got Orlando Cabrera, but he also got a guy by the name of Doug Minkiewicz, who was fantastic defensively at first base.
He kept
the
ball.
And he did. Any Sox fan who was around and remembers that, remembers Minkiewicz defensively was very important when they went and won the World Series.
So my would be like, well, move Devers to first. But then again, I think the first base is a really underrated defensive position. So I don't know what to do with Devers.
Well, Alex Cora was asked about the decision to pull Nick Pivetta afterwards, and here's what he said.
Alex, how tough of a decision was it to take Nick out at that point?
It wasn't tough. You know, this is, you know, is a 0-0 game. We have one of the best lefties in the game, probably the best lefty throwing the ball in the game. And, you know, it was a no-brainer.
Well, Pivetta was asked afterwards whether he wanted to try and finish the no-hitter, and here's what he said.
No, Johnny, I did not want to come out, but it's not about me. It's about the game. It's about winning baseball games.
I thought he was being sarcastic at first.
The matchups worked out really well. JT's been doing a great job all series with those lefties, and that's really important. It was a tie ball game at the time.
Yeah. When he first talked, I thought he was saying, no, I wanted to come out. Like, I thought he was being sarcastic.
No, he was, and you could tell, because if you listen to all of his clips in its entirety, I mean, he's one of these guys that, sure, I would want to stay in, but I also understand why it was done.
He was BSing. Yeah. He didn't want to come out of that game. That's why I cut him off, because he was just rambling, as athletes do.
And people were, because of the body language, you just handed Cora the ball and walked off the field. Oh, he didn't have any problem with it. Of course he had a problem with it.
Listen, he's not going to...
the best game of his life.
He's not going to hold it against Cora for the rest of his life. I mean, there's a part of him who understands, but no, he doesn't think it's the right move, and he's pissed off. I've been watching on YouTube now Tommy Lasorda going out to the mound.
And just womp.
Let you fall down
womp,
that rabbit hole.
Is there sound effects?
Whatever the algorithm has. But the way Lasorda talked to pitchers is really funny. He takes his lefty out in game two of World Series against the Yankees, and he's like, Reggie Jackson got a blue pit, and they're hitting everything the other way. And Lasorda goes, I don't give an F. What the F are you talking about? I'm the effing manager. You shut the F up. Can you imagine talking to a guy like that?
It's funny because every manager is different. Like when Francona was here, Francona's like, I always send the pitching coach out first. And then when the pitchers see me coming, they know there's no discussion.
That way,
just, you know, hand me the baseball. It's the second mound visit. You're out of there. And he avoided conflict the entire way that way. He just managed his pitchers differently. He never got a guy up he didn't intend to bring in. And all the pitchers knew that, so there was no arguing at all. He avoided that entirely.
Well, after last night's loss, the Sox, they are now a half game back of the Rays for first place in the division. Next up, the Yankees are in town.
Hey, Bobby, you know, the Yankees are in town. Bunch of New York media is here in the room with us. You know, what do you think?
By the way, John, I know the Yankees are in town because I saw the world's most attractive people waiting for their arrival outside of the team hotel last night.
Fantastic.
Kid, go pretend you're a Yankees fan and get Luke Voit to sign this thing for the eBay store. I mean, they're just lining the streets ready for these guys to show up.
I'm going on Sunday.
Very good.
I drop my son off for camp, and then I will be in a nice... Hey, way to go, Heim, because it's a 1 o'clock Sunday game against the Yankees.
Thank God we don't have to worry about that BS 8 o'clock start, which is the latest war to end all wars that ESPN tries to pump it up to be. Yeah. Very happy about two things before we get off the Red Sox for the rest of the morning. First off, the base running was atrocious last night. In the seventh inning.
It has been.
And Hunter Renfroe tries to score from second on a single. Kevin Kiermaier is a center fielder for Tampa Bay. Very good defensive center fielder. Throws out Renfroe at home because he hesitates. hesitated going around third.
He did. He stopped.
With the
almost.
Third base coach waving him in. For some reason, Renfroe forgot to pick up the third base coach running the bases. Vasquez goes, and it was a close play, but he was out. And then Christian Vasquez, the guy who singled up the middle, goes to second on the throw home. And again, this is a scoreless game. You have a guy with the lead run in the seventh inning thrown out at the plate, which is bad enough. And then Vasquez gets picked off of second to end the inning, killing a rare good rally in a very close game.
John, in fairness, Vasquez really needs to get off second because he's the threat to go.
That's right. He's a speed demon. Yes, yeah. Of course. They have to worry about him stealing third.
Because he was going to score on a single. And a sharply hit ball he was going to score on.
And the other thing is, I'm really tired of Danny Santana hitting 120 and leading off. I'm very tired of Kike Hernandez, who Alex Cora has just fallen in love with for no reason, hitting 220 with an on-base percentage of 280, leading off or taking up time. It is now time to bring up your best prospect in Jaron Duran, who has 13 homers and 7 steals in about 35 games in AAA.
You know how he got so good in the offseason? Man by the name of his dad.
Yep. That's right.
So worked him out, man. His dad's a bodybuilder. His dad worked him out.
Need launch
dad.
Angle. Need launch angle, son. Need power. Need pop.
He needed dad.
Yep.
Even these pros need dad to step in.
It is time for Jaron Duran to play center. And you know what? They need a leadoff hitter, which is where Duran is hit at AAA. It's time, Haim. Bring him up.
All right. Now you're starting to talk about plays that happen in the game, which is a no-no in
sports
radio.
Sorry, my mistake.
This is not the Eddie Hamlin show. You cannot be second guessing.
Call us.
if you pull a
this
guy.
This is not Sunday night at 8.
If you pull a guy throwing a no hitter, that's one thing, but let's not start going play by play in a regular season game. That is.
It just pissed me off. I apologize.
Well, I saw you on Twitter. I mean, you were very active. All right. We'll be back, Rich. What will we discuss?
Oh, it looks like last night we had something happen that makes the Bruins' loss this postseason hurt even more.
Mm hmm. What are your other headlines?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And, Rich, what's going on?
Well, this makes the Bruins season sting a little bit more.
Dan Holt cutting to the net. Here's a chance.
Poor Dave Gosher, not able to call his Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup final, but instead, the Montreal Canadiens will be going to the final for the first time in 28 years, and how amazing is it that they'll be playing in a near-empty stadium, the Bell Center, only allowing 3,500 people, but that didn't stop the chaos outside last night as the arena was put on lockdown with the fans trapped inside because the Montreal police deemed that the outside plaza was too dangerous for the fans to exit. Montreal police were reporting projectiles being tossed towards officers at the time. I guess it was the owner or the GM, I forget which one, had to come on the Jumbotron and tell the 3,500 Canadian gumps that they weren't allowed to leave. And they just had to kind of stand around and wait for things to calm down.
That happened in Vancouver, if you remember, after game 7.
But did they lock everybody in?
Yeah.
Because that was no joke.
Remember, we had Dan Roach. Dan was out in Vancouver. He said he was stuck inside the building for about 3 or 4 hours while police tried to clear the square.
Yeah, that would be freaky if they wouldn't let you out of the building.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like that at all.
Well, at least, I mean, in that case, it was probably 10 times more insane because, first of all, we saw the devastation. I mean, that was no joke what happened after the Bruins won in Vancouver. But on top of that, that was a full arena. Like, this was just 3,500 people milling around. I've seen the pictures. And I guess they were only in there for, like, just under 30 minutes as well. But I just think it's just so unbelievable. And I wonder whether or not the government is going to make some sort of concession. Because, I mean,
Oh, you got it.
After 28 years, they're going to the Stanley Cup final, and only 3,000 or so people are allowed in.
They were the last Canadian team to win the whole thing. I mean, it's been three decades.
Has it been that long? Wow.
Yes.
I remember. It was 93.
They beat Gretzky and the Kings in the Stanley Cup final.
And I was at a friend's house, and he was a big Canadiens fan, and him and his brother, right after they won, said, well, they were driving to Montreal from Detroit, and they left right then. Right after the game was over.
How long a drive is that?
Long. 12, 15 hours.
Jeez.
Like, and they just left because they wanted to be there, like, the next day, like, when everyone was partying. And, what it shows you is if you're a hot goaltender that's playing out of his mind, you're going to win in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's all goaltending. That's, Carey Price was unbelievable.
And the Golden Knights, who had Fleury played out of his mind for most of the season, went to crap.
And they pulled him.
In the playoffs.
And, and lo and behold, they pulled him. And the other goalie played well, but Leonard, he didn't play as well as Carey Price.
Yeah.
It's all goaltending. So if you want to get frustrated about that.
Well, tonight we find out who the Habs are going to be taking on. Game 7, Islanders Lightning. It's a 8 p.m. puck drop, if you are into that. I mean, to be quite honest, I kind of don't mind either of those teams. It's not like there's one I prefer over the other. But I guess you don't want to see the Lightning do it. Although the Michigan clips are worth it, you know, him losing his mind. So I guess I'm pulling for the Lightning in this one. Just so we can hear Esposito seem completely uninterested in everything.
The Islanders guy has that really high-pitched voice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
When he loses his mind, too.
So. Well, if that was the Canadians radio broadcast, they've got some major overmodulation issues. Like, their microphones
suck. They're probably not even there. Canada's just ridiculous with their rules. In way to control the people.
Well, they haven't been able to vaccinate hardly. I mean, well, I think they've gotten better in the last month or so.
Well,
they were way behind in vaccinations.
And they were very, very, very strict throughout the country about what you could do and what you couldn't do. And they still are. And a lot of good it did them with everyone. I mean, how long do you think you're going to be able to? How long do you think people are going to look around at the United States and go, oh, well, everything's open in the United States. We're just going to sit here. Not long.
I do find it fascinating that, like, countries like Japan, you're hearing about with the Olympics, and like in Canada, you know, countries that you thought would have it together haven't been able to figure out how to vaccinate them.
Canada seemed to. I mean, they were, people pointed at, see, they're locking people down. They're controlling this thing.
Well, that was when everyone had lockdown fever.
But that's different than distributing a vaccine.
No, like, I know. Step A, but they haven't been able to get to step B.
Yeah, I mean, step B, there's a blueprint on how to do it, and America was it. You know, I mean, to be honest, they did almost better
than
anybody.
We're hogging all the vaccine, man.
Oh, I think they had the vaccine, but they did. What was the method that they did wrong?
They triple checked you and made sure you hadn't left your house in 6 months. You got it first. They what they're doing is ridiculous.
I think that they gave everybody one shot, but they weren't able to, after 3 or 4 weeks, give everyone the second one because they didn't have it ready. Instead of, I believe, and I might be talking out of my ass, but I thought I had heard that instead of doing kind of like what we did, was that, all right, as soon as you get a shot, you're guaranteed your second shot within 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
They just, with all the shots, gave it to as many people as they could. And then when it came time for those people to have the second, you know, the second shot, it wasn't available. They didn't have it ready to go.
Well, you're pretty good after the first shot, so, I mean, they should be able to relax a little bit.
Europe was behind, but they're catching up. I mean, they started way later, but now.
Well, have you talked to someone who's from Europe and they're very hesitant about the United States is doing? They don't like it one bit.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because instead of going, thank God we're in the United States and we can be here. Some of the people I talked to was like, well, my family's all in Ireland and they can't leave their house. And be happy you can leave your house.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want to be like Ireland?
Yeah. My sister, as you know, lives in Europe. She's coming next month. She can't wait to get here.
What part of Europe is she living?
She lives in Luxembourg.
Oh, okay. Are they all squeaky clean over there now?
Germany and Austria. Yes, they're not squeaky clean, but as I said, you know, they were behind everyone in getting their first shot, but she and her husband have already been vaccinated. So, I mean, have both gotten their first shot. They're scheduled to get their second one.
Yeah, so. And a guy I like, too, but he was, like, waxing poetic about how you can't leave in the UK. And I'm like, in like meaning like can you like I don't know if we should you know be out here like you know you can't leave where you are in the UK and I'm like why won't you just be happy you can leave like be happy and this is me telling you to live in the moment. This is if you're so negative that I'm telling you to shut up, well, you got an issue.
Well, the Japan thing is crazy.
I don't think they have a different vaccine, and I don't think they're
did
not,
they start off with the wrong vaccine? Like
they might have because they're not using or they weren't using the Pfizer and the Moderna. They had developed their own vaccine, and maybe there was a problem with that.
Okay,
that I know that Japan had developed their own vaccine. Now there might be an issue with that. Listen, man, as soon as they let us leave, I don't care. Like I stopped paying attention to what was going on. As soon as I got my second shot and they said the kids don't have to wear masks at games anymore, I stopped caring.
Well, the reason that it's been so interesting lately is because of, to be honest, as an American watching the sports that are going on there. Like with Canada.
Oh, yeah, it's interesting.
It's fascinating to me. It's like, wow, look at everywhere in America and you can only get 3,000 people to be in an arena and with a team that's in the Stanley Cup final.
And by the way, like, and you think you can control your population? Like that they're gonna just sit there and go, oh, that's great. Okay, cool. Like, no, there's gonna, do you know what it's gonna be like for those Montreal home games in the Stanley Cup finals? What do you think? People are just gonna sit home?
It's going to be 10 blocks
wide
around the stadium. It is going to be chaos.
I mean, at what point do you have to tell you can't?
You just gotta get vaccinated.
You can't tell human beings to stay home for 2 years. You can't do it. You can't, they're not going to do it. They're not, and yes, they do have to be vaccinated. Listen, I took the vaccine. I did what you were supposed to do. I did everything. I wore the mask. I did everything you're supposed to do. But I mean, at a certain point, if that's Canada's problem.
Well,
they did. And if you can't get people vaccinated, they're not going to stay home.
Well, the other thing too is that for the Olympics, they announced because they're obviously worried because the numbers are still fairly high in Japan. Is that there's a very limited amount of people who are allowed to go to the events for the Olympics, but if you are one of the 10% of the arena that's able to go, you can't cheer.
Yeah,
you can't yell. You can't say anything. You can just politely clap.
But are they allowing like U.S. citizens to the Olympics? Because if it's Japan, because you've seen concerts in Japan where they all like, how many bands have you heard about like go like, well, we were playing this arena in Japan and we're like, what the hell? Like everyone hates us.
Yeah.
And then the song would end, and everyone would go, yeah! Like they don't stand and, like, cheer. So if it's a Japanese crowd, maybe it won't be that weird.
It is. Apparently, from what I was reading, other than friends and family of the athletes going, nobody from outside Japan can go.
Who wants to go somewhere that's locked down? I mean, I wouldn't go to the Olympics.
I mean, the way this thing is spreading, again, this is just based on what I've read, the way this thing is spreading, the Olympic Village is going to be, you might as well put them in a bank vault. I mean, they can't go anywhere.
It's crazy. But listen, I'm glad I don't have to think about it anymore. That sucked. So, yeah, as soon as I got my second vaccine and they let the kids take off the mask when they were playing sports, I said, it's not my problem anymore. You go. They deal with their own crap, but the idea. But it's you're right, Rich. It's gonna be hysterical. I mean,
you can only
let 2,000 people into the arena, and meanwhile, a million people are gonna be on the streets.
Well, they are outdoors, so I mean, I guess they're all
there. It is. Yeah.
Oh, has Canada figured out that outdoors is good?
I don't think they have yet. No. I don't think they figured out that it's safe.
Okay.
So they might ban that too. Yeah. I mean, the overhead shots of the home games are going to be hysterical.
And there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah.
Because I don't care how many cops you have and what you have. What are you going to, spray tear gas into a crowd of a million people? Okay, good. With like families in there? Okay. You're really, then that's like a utilitarian government. That's like, that's craziness. You all stay home. Stay home. Hey, you can't leave. We're firing tear gas into the crowd. All right, now we got ourselves a problem. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talking about the game is no game.
You were listening. You were enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know who this is? This is the DOC who wrote a ton of the Chronic. Every word out of Dr. Trey's mouth. And what happened is the DOC was going to be the biggest star, but he got in an accident and screwed up his voice.
That is something that I learned from you just recently. I had no idea that somebody wrote all of Dr. Dre's rhymes.
Because the DOC's Nobody Can Do It Better record, next to NWA, was the best out of all, until Ice Cube started doing them, was the best out of all of them. And he lost his voice. It was very tragic.
By the way, speaking of, well, this is even more old school. I saw the lineup for the Big E. You know, the big
bringing it back this year. Fair, it's big.
The Big E.
Yeah,
they brought out the lineup of who is going to be performing on the Stage of Honor. I think they call it.
What's the Big E?
It's a giant state fair. It's like New England's biggest fair.
It's
that they
like
have.
The Topps Field Fair times three,
a million.
Four, five, whatever it is.
It's like an expo, and it lasts
huge
for
huge expo. It's in Springfield, Mass.
Like several weeks. Right, isn't it? Like they keep it there for a while, and it's, you know, it's enormous. It's,
okay,
but they have the stage, and DMC of Run DMC is going to be performing. Just Daryl, isn't he the one who lost his voice?
Yeah, but he's got it back.
Oh, it's back now.
Oh, all right.
Okay, so there you go. So you have, you know, one third of Run DMC will be there. Hooba Stank, Dan O'Brien.
Dan O'Brien knew that already. He's already talked to the boys.
I took a couple days off. Yeah, I think it's a midweek. They're doing like a Thursday night.
So oh, I see.
I'll be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Well, of course you will, because Lisa is going to be there without Cult Jam.
We'll see how those jugs have matured, because she had a bag.
She's got to be 65, 70 by now.
Doesn't
right?
matter. So a lot of MILFs get by with them jugs.
Mm-hmm. The Ying Yang Twins. They will be performing as well. Fred, your favorite band from the swing era, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Are they the ones who go,
hey, what's it gonna be?
Hey,
gin and tonic sounds really mighty good to me.
Sure, that's not the Cherry Bomb Daddy.
No, that's Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
If you watch Swingers again, I've kept rewinding it because it was just so nauseating.
Well, there's one scene that the director kept on the guy's face for too long when he goes, hey, Tommy, what's it gonna be? And he just holds us like that.
Mighty good to me. We're pretending it's the 1920s.
That scene, you're right, because it's so uncomfortable how they directed it, where it doesn't take his like the care off his face. He's going,
because Favreau was like just like a huge fan of those guys.
Well, he was just an actor. He didn't write it or direct it. Like that.
Oh,
was,
really? I thought Favreau did Swingers.
Oh no, again, he might have written it, but he did not direct it.
Oh, okay.
It was directed by Doug Liman, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So let's assume that since it was an independent film, they were all kind of fresh.
Sure. Yeah.
And they were all like the same stuff, but yeah, that's hard to get through in Swingers. And I like that movie a lot.
I love that movie. I love it. But you're right, that scene always makes me laugh. It's like, why didn't you cut away?
I rewound it so many times because it's like, hey, Johnny, let's pretend it's 1920.
And he does the eyebrows, but he's holding this like grin.
And you're doing the popping back and forth, which is exactly what he does.
Hey, Tommy, yeah, what's it gonna be?
It's like, wow, you're really having a gin and tonic, pal? That's crazy.
That's mighty, mighty good to me.
Let's pretend we're our grandparents when we go out at night.
So, yeah. So, it's going to be there. I thought for a minute, what was the guy, Jeremy Jordan, The Right Kind of Love?
Oh, yeah, Right Kind of Love.
But I was wrong. It's Jesse McCartney, who I think is like the little brother of one of the Backstreet Boys, maybe. Am I wrong? Oh, that's Aaron Carter. I'm sorry.
Aaron Carter is in no condition to be doing much.
No. Oh, he's like Captain Face Tattoo in crime and drugs,
yes,
right?
Yes, he's celebrity fighting quite a bit. He fought some other loser. The only reason I know these happen because I read about them on the internet, which I still say the internet, and apparently it's like just sad. Like now, some of these fights are like not fun to watch. They're just like dudes that are really not having a good time.
I haven't watched any of them. Like any of the fights, I haven't watched one of them.
I don't care about them.
I saw the highlight of Nate Robinson getting knocked out.
I saw that too, and then I saw the Paul kid hanging on to Mayweather.
Yeah, I've seen the highlights, but I'm not. I haven't paid for any of them.
Well, no.
Wow.
You don't care.
I find that shocking. And Rich does care about these things.
Well, no, it's just that
it was Lamar Odom, Aaron Carter. They fought.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah,
and I didn't know what was going on. I just read that it was sad. All right. Cedric Maxwell is never sad. And newsflash, I don't want to give too much away, but he wants to make love to a certain woman. And we'll have that for you. No commercials here, just to have.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.